Yep.
Seems to be
yep.
these days.
Okay, call to order at 4:03.
Okay.
Roll call, Trustee Clark.
Here.
Trustee Holler.
Here.
Trustee Larson.
Here.
And I am now chair.
Acting chair, acting chair. Acting chair. Yep.
Let's see. Consent calendar. The board will enact the consent calendar staff recommendations by one motion without discussion unless a trustee, member of the public, or staff requests that an item be removed for discussion. Recommended action. Members approve the recommended action on the below consent calendar item. So we're going to move to the approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting, which was May 17th, 2023.
So just since it's consent, it's a vote for both items, for the excuse, the request for excuse absence, as well
okay.
as the meeting. Go ahead and take the vote. Trustee Clark?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ellison?
Yes.
Trustee Holleran?
Yes.
Trustee Larson?
Yes.
Okay. It's unanimous. Motion passes.
Okay. Public comments. Persons may address the board on any subject matter within the board's jurisdiction that is not listed as an item on the agenda. State law generally prohibits the board from discussing or taking action on any issue not included on the agenda. But if appropriate, the board may schedule a topic for future discussions or refer to the matter to staff. Any public comments?
There were no public comments and no public present.
No public.
It's the best.
Not the hottest ticket to
Presentations. The following items will be presentations given to the board. Action on these items is typically limited to the board receiving the presentation and providing direction or feedback to staff as appropriate. The overview of library mission, vision, services, and programs by City Librarian Joy Bhatti and Principal Librarians Erwin and Diana.
Okay. So we're gonna. What we promised to do was kind of go through Library 101, so you understand a little bit about how the library works. And what I actually decided to do was show you an older presentation prior to COVID, and then the next one we'll show you what we did during COVID, and then we'll show you where we're going forward. So we kind of can break it up into pieces, and that way it's a lot to take in. So welcome to La Vista Public Library. More like, is it up and down?
Is it, did the battery die?
Okay.
Oh, there.
Okay. So we have three branches. The Civic Center branch, here, of course, at the street. We're about to turn 50 3 years away. 1976 is when this one is built. We have South Chula Vista at 4th and Orange. That one's a Legoretta building. And that one is turning 30 next year.
Two years.
25.
Yeah.
Is turning 30. And then Otay Ranch. Otay Ranch is actually a lease facility that we have at the Otay Ranch Town Center Mall. We're in the process of renewing that lease for at least another 3-year renewal, but we'll likely only be doing 2 because we'll be moving into Millennia in 2025. And I'll do a whole other presentation next time on Millennia, because that's another. And then of course you can access us 24/7 online at our website. And actually, oh, wrong way. it's down. So here's a little bit about who we are based on the mission statement for the city. We actually provide operational excellence, economic vitality, a healthy community, a strong and secure neighborhood, and a connected community. And so our focus is really the nucleus of learning, culture, and recreation, a catalyst for innovation, business, and growth, and a vital and robust community partner. So of course, the number one thing we do in our library is read. It's where we encourage and celebrate reading of all kinds. We have over 500,000, half a million books in our collection. We should be having go up more than that when we go to Millennia. That's physical books, that's not ebooks. It's just straight, you know, hard copies and paperbacks. We of course have magazines, but we've been migrating more towards e-magazines. It's getting increasingly difficult on the library side to even get physical magazines anymore. We used to have a whole wall of magazines, and now it's harder and harder to get those subscriptions in. And I think people are trying to go paperless, so I think that's a lot of the reason. Of course, we have movies. That's one of our only paid services right now. We have the DVDs and Blu-rays, and we'll likely see if that's still making us any revenue and whether we'll continue having to pay for that as we go forward. Audiobooks, so we have a couple of audiobook options. These are called playways, where they actually, if you don't have a device, they'll play on their own. So that is the device, you check out the device with it. But we also have Hoopla, where you can see audiobooks, and Overdrive has audiobooks as well. And then kids have Tumble books. So we'll talk a little bit about that too. We actually circulate in our library of things. We have a couple of things in our library of things. Did I miss any? Oh, well, I'll have you guys add to that. First and foremost, we do energy efficiency. So you can actually check out energy efficiency tools to see if your home is energy efficient. We check it out for a week long period. Might be longer. Maybe it's 2 weeks.
It's been a while since we took
a look at that. But we circulate that. In our, what else is in our library of things?
So we have kits.
No, go ahead.
So we have kindergarten readiness kit. So
that is in there.
That is okay.
Yeah, anything else?
So
music
that's in there.
The nature backpack. Trying to think if there's no, but like stuff wise, I think that's
stuff,
it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, ebooks, music, and magazines. We work together with the Sarah Cooperative Library System, so it's all the libraries in San Diego County to have purchasing power to purchase Overdrive. And so what Overdrive is our ebook platform. We add to that, we have Hoopla here at Chula Vista Library as well, so you get more access to things. Hoopla is a different platform, but the cool part with Hoopla is we don't have to pay in advance. We actually pay whatever people want to check out. So with Overdrive, if you were checking out a book, and let's say, for example, we wanted to check out Harry Potter? Sure. We're checking out Harry Potter. We actually have to purchase a Harry Potter copy for all of us to be able to check it out at the same time. If not, maybe Trustee Larson gets it, but everybody else gets on hold. In Hoopla, it doesn't work like that. All of us can check it out all at the same time, and then the library will be billed for just what gets checked out, which is kind of nice because it changes how our collection works. Instead of us paying for things that people are checking out, we only get what you want. So it's a bit different. And then same with our Inky, our magazines. It works the exact same way. And we're looking at whether or not music, that was another conversation we've been having, and whether CDs will continue in the libraries as well. I think our circulation's down on CDs.
Yeah, it's down, and really the people that are, it's a certain number of people that are just checking out CDs. It's not the population that has
them. That it used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then museum passes. So prior to this, when I did this presentation, we actually had physical museum passes for every single museum. We've just migrated on July 5th. Am I right, Erwin? That's the date, 7th? 5th.
June 29th.
So we have now Discover and Go. So the way the museum passes previously worked is you had to check out the physical pass, and then you can use it for up to 7 days at any museums. And it was like we had it there, we have, we used to have Living Coast Discovery, Museum of Man, what are the other ones? Museum of Photography, Children's Museum, all of them. And you had to have a physical pass so we'd have long wait lists. Well, now all of the libraries have worked together with the museums and you have an app. And it's called Discover and Go. You download the app, you'll be able to check out. It helps the museum control how many people are using the pass at a time. So they can open several passes all on the same day and you get to check them out. They've also added on sports teams games now, so you can actually go to a San Diego Loyals game through that. I was trying to think of what else is on there. And it's a ton of more museums than we
have. They have the zoo.
The zoo is on there.
It's hard to get though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically trying to reserve a spot.
Yeah.
Reserve a, you know, a time slot.
And it's for a family or just...
Yeah, for a family, yeah.
It
depends. So it depends. If you go on the attraction, it'll tell you what the rules are. But for, in general, it's like one pass, one family.
But it's definitely migrated, and it gives the museum more control over it. So if they know they're having a special event, they can actually block it so that so many people don't use the pass. And of course, that way it doesn't give you a bad experience either, right? You're like, why... where there's so many people here, it's really crowded. So it's a great way, and it's completely paperless. And
yeah, it's nice. Yeah. You really just need your library card.
Yeah. One of the passes that isn't on Discover and Go that we have is the State Park Pass. So we work with California State Library. All of the libraries in California have it, but you can actually go to state parks for free with that pass. So I can't remember how much it costs. Do you remember how much it costs when you actually check that one out? Not check it out from us, but you actually buy it because you have to buy that normally.
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
It's like $80.
Yeah,
or
depending on the park too. Yeah. But you check it out with us and you get it for free as well. So that's really great.
So
but I think the seniors.
Parks.
Oh, the state parks. There's a huge list that lets you into.
The seniors get a free. They get a free pass.
Yeah.
What about the national parks? No?
I think there's a couple, but there's not too many. I think it's mostly California.
It's
California.
Yeah, it's California.
Yeah, there are
a
couple national parks.
But not national necessarily. So we offer story time at all of our locations. That's a real photo. It's at Otay Ranch. Diana's probably the one who did the biggest story time more recently. We just did a story time with Animal Care Facility, and I think there was like 100 and something kids in that. A story time at Otay Ranch has been impacted. We don't have the space, and we actually oftentimes have to tell them they have to leave their stroller outside.
Mm-hmm.
Stroller gridlock feels a lot like Disneyland. It's for ages 0 to 5, so we have a ready-to-read story time, which is kind of 3 to 5, and then our baby time as well. And then we focus on special themes, basic concepts, you know, and we have different themes throughout the year. Depends on what's going on in that month or if we have a special performance. This one happened to be with Inspire Ballet, and it was the Angelina Ballerina story time. And so they would mix ballet with the story time that we did every time. And then, of course, we support parent participation and education. In fact, Diana has, you want to talk a little bit about Stay in Play, because it actually connects
so
right here.
We received some grant funding over the last 2 years, and we had the staff trained, so we would go through training to learn about child development concepts, and then we brought it into the library. So we would have sessions where the families would come in, and really the goal here was reaching the caregivers, so giving them the resources available, but also giving the kids a place to stay and do the gross motor skills, the fine motor skills, and then learning all the different literacy concepts that they could learn at a young age.
That's actually what I'm saying.
And encouraging literacy.
Thank you for that.
Encouraging early literacy skills. So, and then with that, we also created more kits because this was a very popular program. So currently it is at the Otay Ranch branch, but we are planning to expand it to the Civic Center and the South Branch to get the staff trained as well. And because it was so popular, we created kits that families could take home the kits and practice those concepts at home, similar to the kindergarten readiness kits as well.
So along with that, we do Kinder Ready Go and the kindergarten boot camp. So what we found with kids is kids who are read to actually know more words than, and so we're trying to close the word gap. And you can see is the amount of words they know by the age of 2, and then of course 3 and 4 is a wide gap if they're not read to before they hit kindergarten. So what we do is 1,000 books before kindergarten, and we try to get kids to sign up from preschool up, actually since they're babies, because we count if your parents read to you.
Or 10 story time.
Mm-hmm. And that's an ongoing program, so they have a giant log that they mark every single time to get 1,000 books before they hit. I'm going to let you talk about that because you ran it.
So kindergarten, we found that a lot of our families in our communities did not have access or the resources to send their kids to a preschool. And so what we wanted to do was create a program that they can come to for free, and they could learn social skills. They can just learn the skills that they need to know to prepare them at school, meeting new friends, not just the skills, but also how to sit still,
yeah,
how to take turns,
listen,
and then teaching the parents too,
yeah,
what are things that you need to practice, or how do your kids practice, such as when they go to lunch, they have to learn how to open up their lunches, or they have to wear shoes that aren't tie shoes. So we would have the kids come in, and we would create an environment that was similar to a school, and then we would provide that experience for them. And then also we did have the kids also, because it was so popular, they would check out the book. So you can see the little shoe there, so that one was a fine motor skill. We would create a theme or concept, and then they can check that out, take it home,
practice
it. Because a lot of the families would ask us, where did you get this? But you can't just purchase all of these things, so it gave them the chance to practice at home as well. We did partner with a local literacy group, Altresa, so we had a lot of retired teachers and librarians that came in and helped us. So they had also their experience to share with them.
So this is kind of what's in the kit. So clearly this kit, not only learning to laces, was learning to be independent. And it gives you usually a storybook, two storybooks that you can read to them, and then the practice, the skill set, and what we're really trying to gain from it for the kids. So, and we had them all on different themes. I know there was one with telling time, there was one with like colors, all types of different skills that they can work on. So, of course, we support school curriculum with class visits. We're constantly having class visits. They love to visit us, usually like near the end of the school year or in the next break. We have tutor.com, so it's our 24/7 study skills center. And what tutor.com is if you go onto our website, you can actually get live tutoring. Usually, pretty much at any time, it'll connect to a librarian somewhere in the world and help you with your homework assignment or research assignment, which is really great. And then we have homework help in the branches. I think currently right now it's at Otay. Are you doing that stuff?
But our goal is for the school year that we will have homework.
We're trying to regain that back because we don't have enough volunteers to run it, so we've been working towards that. And then, of course, access to current articles, resources through our databases here we have at the library. And then, so we have access to ebooks for student as well as access to computers for student with our digital access card. Our digital access card doesn't allow you to check out materials, it allows you to only access everything digitally. So if you had issues with, you know, we don't want to ever block a student from being able to use the resources, and maybe what people don't realize, and actually now it's a lot easier, we don't have to check these out as much because we went fine free during COVID. When we weren't fine free, it was really hard because if you had any fines over $10, you were not allowed to use your card. So we had started these so that the kids can have access regardless, because this you don't necessarily need a parent approval for. It doesn't allow you access to anything but being able to use the computers inside the library. And then we have community and cultural experiences. We have free lunch. We just hosted lunch at the library this past break. I can't remember the stats on that. You can actually probably look it up.
I don't have the stats, but we had easily 50, 60 at the South Branch per day.
Every day, yeah.
Like 40, 50 here. We would have free lunch and then and free snack as well, so they can come Monday through Friday to pick that up and then enjoy lunch. And then we also included some community partners that would come in. So we had the fire department that came in and showed them their gear. They showed them their trucks and then kind of what to expect if you ever have come, if you ever come in contact with a firefighter. We had Chula PD. We also had
We distributed 942 lunches and 333 snacks during this summer.
Actually, just 1 month.
Yeah,
just
one
month.
There were two branches. We didn't even do it at three. We did it at two. But what you don't realize is a lot of our community goes hungry when they're not in school. So that's why we like to partner with them. This program has grown. We're probably going to start, we're working towards next, which is coming within the next week, and it's starting here at this branch, is we're working with Feeding San Diego. So if you notice when you walked into the library right here, there was a small pantry that people can donate to. And what we're finding a lot is it's actually not homeless people using it, it's a lot of families that are using it to be able to make it to their next check and feed their families. So we're actually partnering with Feeding San Diego to get produce and pantry goods that they can actually have a mini farmer's market in here and shop for food.
Nice.
So hopefully it'll help them. Yeah. And then of course we have musical performances. I was trying to think, we just did La Rondalla. Who was the last one who went over here? There was somebody else. Symphony? Yeah, went over the weekend. Right? Not this weekend, but the last one I think. Art shows, cultural arts. 100% has gone under the library during COVID, and you'll learn a little bit more about that at the next one. But we have the Galleria at South, a small Galleria here, the Galleria at City Hall. We're about to get a Galleria and art space on above Eucalyptus Park, which is called Casa Casillas. That's going to go under construction here really shortly. And I was like, am I missing one?
That's it so far. Yeah.
That's it so far.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the museum's under it, too. And every year, we actually host the Sweetwater Union High School District Art Show. And so we showcase about, that's like hundreds of pieces of art of all the students in Chula Vista. And actually, we have art author visits. And then we even do community health. Not only did we do COVID shots during COVID, but we actually offer Hep A. Done flu shots every single year. We partner with our health organizations so that they can provide it free for the community.
Yeah. Currently at the South Branch, there are we still have COVID kits distributions. Communities fighting COVID table over there, and so there's still
COVID kits.
COVID. Yeah, the test kits.
Yes.
So this was a program we used to have and we'll likely bring back at some point. Actually, I have to check with them if they're still doing it after COVID. They haven't, I don't think, but I'll double check. We used to do the Princess Project, which we would offer prom dresses for free to the girls. I have to double check to their, see, we haven't touched base with them since COVID, so I don't even know if they're still offering it. But if we did, it was great because we actually got asked to join that program because so many of our kids in our community went over to the one that was in downtown. So. We did that one and we partner with the women in our community to be able to. We have parenting classes. We also have classes from Southwestern College that meet at the library. Of course, we're the place to study and meet. We have conference rooms, auditorium at this location, study tables. And of course, with our new facility, we're looking at more conference rooms, more auditoriums, more. Because you know what's sad in this community is there's not very many places to meet. Or one of the only ones. So if you're going to host something, if you go to the rec centers, they charge, whether you're resident or non-resident, they still charge you. And then we're literally the only place to meet, I think, that's not charged. And then our parking lot to parklet, which is adjusted since we built the deck. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the deck. But that's how it used to look. Doesn't look like that anymore. This is prior to us having solar put into the parking lot. Local history, which is also under, so if you didn't know, our local history collection is owned by the library, so all the images you usually see out there are library owned. We're the ones who archive it, we're the ones who keep it. Or actually, any, if you're ever out in the community, like for example, if you go, if you're here in Chulavista, you go to Albertsons and you notice their local history photos, they likely paid us for it because it's our images. We're working actually right now with downtown Chulavista. They're doing an office, they're redoing their office, and they're also wanting local history photos and their artists as well. So all the images that we have are usually, they're all us. So. Okay, adult learning and assistance, and Diana's actually the one who's in charge of our literacy.
We have an adult literacy program.
See what I have.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. Thank you. So we do offer ESL classes either through our volunteer tutors or through Southwestern College or Juan Diego Adult School partner with us to provide classes for ESL and citizenship. We do have adult literacy program where we train tutors to do either one-on-one tutoring with a learner or small group tutoring. We have career online high school, so you can earn your high school degree. It's completely online, and we provide scholarships so that they can get their high school diploma. It's not a GED, it is a high school diploma. We have computer classes as well. We have VA help.
That's with the veterans.
With the veterans.
The VA, the actual VAs here.
And then we have a law library as well. And then currently we have the two facilities, the Civic Center and the Otay Ranch branch, that are passport acceptance facilities. And
how long does it take to get a passport?
Currently, the real time or the estimated? So it is currently 8 to 12 weeks for...
That's not on us. Department of State.
Department of State. Yeah, set by the Department of State. 5 to 7 weeks if you pay for expedite, but there have been so many
They've
people...
They've been struggling to even make that.
So many people have not received it even in that time frame. So I recommend if you know anyone that needs a passport, please go as early as you can.
The reason I ask is I was on a call today.
Yeah.
We're taking kids to Tijuana.
Oh,
the painting looks like a Comatona. A lot of American kids don't have passports.
Yeah.
Mexican kids, some don't have passports. They have to also get a visa.
Right.
But is it May? I said May is almost here.
I would recommend.
Start now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't wait because there's so many people who have paid it even with expedited and haven't received it. So they're just backlogged.
COVID was devastating for all of us.
Yeah. And as our passport acceptance facilities, we're actually going to grow them. So South Chulavista is going to get one. They've been approved for theirs already. Oleander, which is another site that we're going to be taking on, is getting one as well. So we're going to add two by the end. Mm-hmm. So we'll have four. And people still can't find an appointment.
Is it the staff?
Honestly, it's just... On the reverse end, they have a problem at the Department of State with staff. They don't have enough people to process, so it's really hard. So even if we can get you an appointment, your application is probably sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's why we explain to people, please think like 6 months out, so that you're not waiting. Because we have people even on our staff that they've applied it way early and still did not make it in time. And it was nothing we can do, so. I'm sorry, and I have to
Who teaches the citizenship classes?
So we have either, depending, it's either Juan Diego Adult School or Southwestern College. So both of them both have teachers that teach that, and then depending, they either come here or they go to the South Branch.
For a while, we actually had a library staff member that did it, but it's hard to find somebody that actually did it.
Who actually trains the tutors?
So it's the literacy coordinator. That's currently myself, so I would do the training.
But normally it is.
But it wouldn't be me. It would be the librarian. So we're just going through some staff changes. But we have a literacy coordinator that will do the training and
assess the. They help assess the students.
Right.
They help match
the
student to the tutor.
Good.
So of course we have computer access and circulating laptops. As much as we think everybody has their own devices, still not true. Our computers are still probably the most heavy used devices out there. And we circulate Chromebooks. Like I told you before, you can download audiobooks and ebooks on OverDrive. Zinio, which we changed for Inky, I think. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I wrong on that one?
Yeah.
I think we changed that one for Inky. And then we had Free Music too, which they still have. I think it's their blood.
It's Hoopla.
Who does it?
It's Hoopla.
Then Wi-Fi out there, the facility, we circulate Wi-Fi hotspots as well as offer Wi-Fi only. One of the things that we look towards is we're actually broadband access, so we're a scenic library, and scenic allows 1 gig of internet, and it's actually paid for through the state of California. It's the pipeline, which you can see goes all the way up the state to the all the way to the bottom of the state, and we're a portion of it, and it connects actually majority of the public libraries as well as the universities. They're all on the scenic pipeline. So you can. And then, of course, the Wi-Fi hotspots that we talked about. We were one of the leading, which we're just finishing up that program right now, we were one of the leading departments that, during COVID, when all of a sudden everybody had to go online for school, what we did was launch a program to provide 2,000 wireless hotspots to the school district. And that actually helped them so much, because if you have, even if you had Wi-Fi in your home, when all three children are trying to access Wi-Fi at the exact same time for their classes, it's not enough Wi-Fi. So we were able to go to the community that was impacted the most by that and give them basically internet for free. And so we're finally finishing up on that program, but that definitely helped out the community during COVID too. This is our digital multimedia studio. It's where we're heading towards and looking towards the future. You're probably likely gonna see one in Millennia. Nowadays, when you're either interviewing, you're wanting to record, now, especially when you're interviewing, nowadays they actually ask you to download a file of where you just introduce yourself before you even go into the interview. And one of the things is called a digital multimedia studio. So really, at the drop of a hat, you'd be able to record yourself without anybody's help. So we wouldn't need all of us to work on trying to record something. You would come in, it's called One Button Studio. You'd stick your thumb drive in there, and then you'd press record, and the cameras would automatically adjust to recording you. So you'd be able to do everything through one button. And that's what we're looking for towards our view, where the future goes for the library. STEM Lab, of course we have a STEM Lab with, we have our second one was with Energy Station, so I'll kind of go through that, and I think it goes through it. Let me double check it. Okay, so Innovation Station is the one that we have here, and actually maybe one of the meetings I should take you guys down there and show you. We work directly with the school district, and we have three stations. The Innovation Station, which is here, and it's partnered with Qualcomm. And then the second one's at South Chula Vista, and it's with SDG&E. It's called the Energy Station. And the third one is about to open. It actually opens next week to the school district, and it's called the Sound Station. Each of those stations, what the kids learn when they come, it's a field trip that they come here for. They come in, they do a strength finder, they understand their strengths, so they can understand what it takes to do to find a career. And they actually look through career development cards and select six careers that they'd be interested in that works with their strengths. Then in Innovation Station, they'll go in and they'll have to code a project. So they'll be given a problem to solve. And one of my favorite problems that I always tell them is, how do you get microbeads out of the ocean? These sixth graders have microbeads. So microbeads are those tiny, tiny, tiny little plastic beads that you find in a lot of things that you actually don't realize are there in.
Never heard of
it. Yeah. Oh, and then now that I told you that, you're going to look at it and you're going to be like, oh my God,
yeah,
it's a major problem. Because it's something that they can't take out and automatically goes down the drain,
right.
And then it's messing up the ocean. So we challenge these kids to solve real world problems, and by the end of the day, they will design engineer a solution. So it's unbelievable to watch a sixth grade class come in, and then they're like, well, this is what we would do, and they actually have to present it to their class at the end of this today. And the same example of that, they go into the Energy Station and they do the same thing, except it's on energy efficiency. So by the end of the day, they'll solve an energy problem. It's gonna be sixth grade, so we see every single sixth grader in the school district. That's 49 schools, and every sixth grade class comes here. Monday through Friday, we constantly have a class. And then the newest one, which you guys will get an invite to, is the Sound Station. And it'll officially ribbon cut to the community in September. And the sound station's gonna focus on obviously sound engineering. They'll be able to make their own music. They're gonna be able to learn how to, what do you do when you're in the music field, in the creative field? Maybe you're gonna do, design a cover art. You're gonna have to like sell and create a budget for what you would do to sell your album and actually walk out of there creating an album with that group that they're in. So we just hired the instructor. Each of those labs have an instructor, a full-time instructor from Children's Elementary School District. And they have, the bus drops them off here. When they're not in use, we have them during the evening. We've done a ton of programming down there. We do all of the STEM labs that we have for the kids that we do after hours occurs in those areas. At the same time, we do stuff for adults. So we've done the science of brewing, and we work directly with the breweries, and we actually talked about what it takes to become a brewer. So, kind of neat.
Yeah.
So everybody else gets experience. This is actually what the deck was called at the very beginning when it was just a concept, and now it's real. And I even look back and go, well, I can't believe that was just a concept, and now here we are. So you'll see that, and you guys will actually be out there. I don't think I've seen the save the date, but you guys will get an invite to the Boards and Commission recognition event, and it's in August. So, and it's on the deck, so you guys will get a chance to see that.
How many elementary schools are there in the district?
49.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we finally became the largest school district in California.
California, I think so.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Or elementary school district.
Elementary, for elementary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
So San Diego has multiple districts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. San Diego's pretty big too, but they, I guess, in well, because we're only Children's and we have so many.
Because it's like
Crown,
they have it broken up.
Yeah. They have it broken up.
We have more than Santa Ana?
Well, we have, let's see.
He's gonna look it up.
Yeah. Santa Ana, I think, is the biggest. But.
These are all our partners. You know, it does take a community to build Chulavista and our knowledge, and we're constantly looking for partners. That's the one thing that we do really well is actually partner.
Yeah.
We do have two nonprofits or 501c3s in the library. The first one is the Friends of the Library. The Friends of the Library actually pay 100% of our programming. So anything we need for story time, anything we need for STEM, anything we actually, summer reading, we pay for all of it. Performances, they pay for all of it.
Where do they get the money?
That's what
they sell the books.
Oh, yeah.
So this bookstore that you're seeing out here, that's them. And so that's what they do. They get donations and they sell the books, and it may be a quarter, but it means so much to so many people. And they turn around and just give it 100% back to us. The foundation's a bit different. They're more fundraising aspect, and they pay for major capital improvement projects. So when we redid your cafe, we paid for that through the foundation. Their original goal was to help get an Eastside library, but now we're mostly working on any CIP projects we can help the library with, so major improvements to the library. The Friends, actually, if you walk into the children's room right now, where there used to be a fireplace, the Friends custom built a staircase that kids can sit in that we do story time in now, which they just love. So, I don't want to, like, I think that's it. All our various library cards. We have a lot. The top, or the left, is really, actually, there's five of them up there that are actually, we did a library card contest, and the community drew those. So there's five of them up there that are community driven. We haven't done one in a while. We'll likely launch another one when we get to the new library. Yeah.
How much income do the Friends raise through books on a yearly, on an annual basis?
The Civic Center branch alone raises about $9,000 a year.
$9,000,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to donate if they have a bunch of books.
Oh,
yeah.
Where do they do?
They just donate straight to them.
Where?
At the front desk.
At the front desk.
Uh-huh, they'll take them.
Yeah.
I think that's it, at least for what we previously did. Do you guys have any questions? I don't want to overwhelm you, so I didn't add anything else. That's a lot.
Is the foundation up and running again?
The which one?
The foundation.
They're starting to become up and running. We went on hiatus too for COVID.
Where do you do the musical performances? Are they indoors or outdoors? Do you use the patio at all? for musical performances?
We've done everything,
both.
Actually.
We've had them inside the library as well. We've had
yeah.
them inside, yeah.
Because
yeah.
the patio is so nice for
mm-hmm.
a bigger
yeah.
social.
And then we've done plays, we've done Old Globe,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
done trolley dances in the library. I'm sure maybe we've done so much. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Do you get who's the auditorium?
Yeah, that's here.
It's right here.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right here, yes. In fact, that's the number one thing that I'm going to make sure is in the new library is an auditorium.
Yes.
Because there is no auditorium space. This is it.
Right.
Yeah. For the community. Anyway.
And this only seats 152. It's not even that big.
Are they still selling the seats where you can,
yes.
like...
Yeah, the Friends sell...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they, you can, like...
buy a seat.
Buy a seat and memorialize a you know, family member's name or your family in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Nice job.
Oh, thanks. Oh, you'll learn more. We have a lot more than that. I just told them, I was like, I can't overwhelm them. Then they'll be like, it's okay,
that's
I don't want to be on the board.
That's
a lot.
That's really the basics.
That is, I did it basic. So, okay, you want to move on to?
Yeah, let's do action items. The items listed in the section of the agenda will be considered individually by the board and are expected to elicit discussion and deliberation. Election of chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2023-24. Board nominates and elects chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2023-24.
So we are in a new fiscal year, so after every new fiscal year, the subsequent meeting for a board's commission, you elect a new chair or vice chair, or you keep the... Anyway, you elect a chair and vice chair.
The
so,
next meeting?
For this coming year, yeah, but today, yeah,
okay.
this is the action item.
So next month is the new
yes.
chair.
Yes.
But it starts in July or starts in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
this is our July.
The new fiscal year is July 1st. So anything after that. So the soon as the next meeting after the soonest meeting, which is now for you.
Yeah.
Someone want to be the chair?
Yeah. You can nominate yourselves, you can nominate others.
Oh, that's great, or we make them turn on each other.
That's what happened.
Nominate others.
There's a script provided.
for the chair.
You have to read through the agenda. It's really
so
easy.
So the chair is basically, yeah, you read through the agenda, but the chair also, if they want to add items to the agenda, but basically, you know, like what else, the Vice Chair Ellison said, it's running the meetings and kind of like, reading the script. Technically, I'm supposed to work with the chair for agenda items. And you can always ask the chair if you could to add things to the agenda.
They always sound like interesting.
Does the vice chair wish to run as a chair?
What?
The vice chair wish
to run? I was a chair before she became vice chair.
Yeah.
I think I've been the chair like maybe twice already. So, I'd love to see a new chair.
It's not that. It's not. I mean, we're not. We don't ask you to do a lot of heavy lifting.
No, it's really
easy.
It's easy.
Yeah,
it's super easy.
Do you have an interest?
I do not.
Thanks,
guys. You guys are the best.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm just so new to this.
Yeah.
It's really.
I get it. I totally get it.
Will you stay as vice chair?
I'll stay as vice chair. Whoever wants to take over, because. Trustee Bruder was the chair, and I was the vice chair. But now he's
they make a motion for whoever takes the vacancy. Is the chair.
Would you be interested?
I'd be interested in being vice chair.
We have to arm wrestle for that.
The chair is another matter, yeah.
The chair is really easy. You just have, I mean, if you're available at every meeting, you're just reading the script.
Yeah, but you gotta make the agenda, right?
No,
yeah,
I
no, Erwin
I do all of it.
Oh, you do have.
All of this is me. This whole thing is me.
All we do is we send it to you and say, is there anything else like we need to add?
Is that to everybody or just the chair and vice chair?
No, to everyone.
Yeah.
And then you would just
chair.
Move the motions, you know.
There's too many things going right now with things moving, sorry.
Yeah. Why don't we do it together and you can do a chair one time and I'll be the chair the next meeting and we'll just kind of switch off, even though one of us will have to officially be the chair.
Okay.
Just so we get used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's really easy.
Kind of a compromise,
okay.
You have to.
Can you do it that way? Is that legal?
Well, it has to be only one chair.
So like at least
I'll have
on paper.
Trustee Hollerin as the vice chair. And then Trustee Lars as the chair. Main chair.
I'll do it.
Okay. What, you guys think it's actually...
Yeah, someone needs to make a, someone needs to make a motion.
I motion to approve, or to elect Trustee Larson as the chair and Trustee Hollerin as the vice chair.
So you made the motion?
Maybe. I'll second it.
All right, I will take the vote. Trustee Clark?
Both agree.
Vice Chair Ellison?
Yay.
Trustee Hollerin?
Yay.
And Trustee Larson?
Yay.
All right. It passes. So next chair will be Chair Larson, Vice Chair Hollerin. Yeah? All right. Okay.
That looks good on your message.
Just in case.
Are there any rules about board members not as a group of working directly with the librarians?
No. As long as it's not a quorum, all working together, kind of thing. So yeah.
Because you take someone with you, but you don't take two people with you.
Yeah, pretty much.
You actually do two, as long as it's not. Well, at this point, three.
Four. Yeah.
Three is quorum.
How often does the foundation meet?
Foundation.
How often do they meet?
The Chula Vista Foundation.
Well, you know.
They usually meet once a quarter. It depends. When we're in fundraising mode, we'll meet once a month.
Yeah.
But then it kind of goes on hiatus.
Right.
The friends meet every other month.
Every other month, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They just met.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
So does that mean we're getting a new number?
We should. Yeah.
Yeah, it's already been posted for. Yeah. I think it's been posted. I think over here.
So, I thought so too.
Yeah. So we're just waiting for that appointment.
Cool. Any other business? No. Staff comments?
None.
You want to talk about
Well, chair comments. Sometime I might share on, because I was on the Newport Beach Board of Directors for 10 years. And I thought I'd show you our new, this is our publication, it's quarterly.
Cool.
We had all the programs. Lectures. I love to pass them around. This is our new lecture hall that's
beautiful.
Hopefully will open in this fall to the tune of about $20 million.
That's a much smaller
city. I know.
Yeah.
It's a rich one though.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of money. But it still has not been fully, they still want more money to fund it. So started at $10 million and now we're up to 21.
Oh, I know.
And that's still not enough.
Building costs are through the roof.
I was
going to
say,
right,
that's not enough for that. I was going to say $20 million,
And then, of course, we have a lecture series.
Cool.
We've had for 35 years. And some more prominent authors have spoken there all over the years, and all very, very prominent. It's probably the most prominent lecture series of all the libraries in California. Only because we've devoted so much time and energy and money to that. It's been a very successful program.
How much is the publication for these? I mean, that's heavy paper. It's like good quality.
Oh, you mean this?
Yeah, the actual booklet.
The library pays for this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you have recognized some of these people. I see Secretary of Energy is up there. That one?
Yeah.
Of the United States. So this is your speaker's list right here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we sell a little girl.
Is there a group that organizes all the marketing materials for the library?
Well,
they probably have some.
Yeah, there's a committee.
Okay.
The foundation does all the funding, fundraising and funding. But again, for the lecture hall, that is a, those are all private donations.
Yeah, yeah.
And the city is a co-sponsorship between the city and the library.
Cool.
So the city will actually use it when the library is not.
Yeah.
And for all kinds
workshops,
of workshops,
trainings, all kinds of stuff.
Musical events.
That's neat.
Yeah, so. But again, still on hold.
Yeah.
Because they want more money.
Well, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Newport Beach is fortunate in the sense that it has the resources and you have a very literate community who's interested in reading and sponsoring programs.
Is that Orange County?
Yes. Certainly is. You didn't know that?
I'm confused about the beaches. Like,
yeah,
it's all
beach.
I know.
The beach is
yeah. Manhattan Beach, like, was that all?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I'm on the advisory board for San Diego Diplomacy Council and the World Affairs Council. They do nothing in the South Bay.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
But they usually their membership leans north.
That's
because they don't do anything down here. But it might be a consideration sometime for the library to have one of the events that there's a.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tomorrow there is a member from the State Department speaking on the Horn of Africa. You know, just Ethiopia, very difficult places.
Yeah.
At the Hall of Nations in Balboa Park.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as they've been so far. They've spoken up, I don't know the north that well.
Yeah.
Get GPS and go. But they've also had them with the Institute of the Americas, who's on the campus of UC San Diego.
Oh.
So part of it is just getting someone.
Yeah.
And what do they charge the speakers? $60?
$60, I think.
Wow.
Comes with a lot.
Yeah, it comes with dinner. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's actually really nice.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
Really
yeah.
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 A deal.
That is a good deal.
That's cool.
That's beautiful.
I hope they get it. Is that for fundraising, the money raised?
No, it's to get the people up, it's to get the speakers here. You tend to know who's going to be on the West Coast if they're East Coast people.
Yeah.
A lot of them come out because they're flapping a book or something.
Yeah.
And they do that in Los Angeles and in the Bay Area.
You know, it's
they do it at Warwick's.
It's
Warwick's.
Yeah,
Warwick's.
Warwick's
for sure.
Huge.
Yeah. But they have the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they do.
It's also really hard because a lot of speakers, and we've run into this a lot too for programming. Number one, we don't have a very large programming budget, but it costs more because California is huge, And so they can't hit a couple of us at the same time versus in other places where they'll be like, okay, we're in the area for this week and we're gonna do all these libraries or all these bookstores, and it's never the same thing.
But I think Warwick, as I see it, as they're added in the paper, they do have some of the things not at the physical.
Yeah.
The store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because we partner a lot with Tornado. A bunch of different libraries.
But it might be possible just to, you know,
sure.
And
come down.
Yeah, and I don't know what those other venues. Somebody has to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yes. 100%.
Thanks
for sharing. That was
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's
always good to see
other people.
Yeah, it always is.
We talked, I think, the last time,
mm-hmm.
which is today, about also doing stuff for the other side.
Yes.
And I'm talking about that as May,
yeah,
you know, seems
yeah.
as May. But like some of the museums and
yes.
stuff like that. What were you? I've forgotten exactly what.
Oh, you know what, Erwin, we were going to connect you with them.
Yeah, for
to
the
try to get
for
Discover
and Go.
Discover and Go.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can get that conversation going, then it mm-hmm. allows them the opportunity to do that.
As well.
That, huh?
Okay.
So Erwin will reach out to you.
The right. biggest thing, Erwin, of course, is passports.
Yeah.
That's the big
because
challenge.
Something
that's
a horrible thing. Something like only 17% of people in Santa Cruz County have a passport.
Yep.
Well, you know, their trip abroad is going to Arizona.
Yeah. or Honolulu.
Yeah.
Really good for Honolulu.
Yeah.
It does make a big difference.
Yeah.
It's about the same thing. People on the other side, only about the same amount, have visas. They
yes.
have a Mexican
yes.
passport, but they don't have a visa.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're trying to work out to do this thing. We're doing it with the Walter Monk Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And UC San Diego. It has to do with a water theme, and your kids on both sides will be helping to clean the beaches together.
Oh, honey.
Together.
Oh,
sounds
yeah.
neat.
Yeah.
And today we had the conversation on how do we make sure that we get the visas, because
yes.
it takes a long time.
Yeah.
You don't send kids by themselves.
Of course.
So they have to have a certain amount of shackles per.
Mm-hmm.
And then can we get a day visa? As opposed to
mm-hmm.
the minimum normally is
yeah.
up to 7 days,
yeah.
which is free.
Yeah.
Or it's over, the best to come here, to go to Mexico,
yeah.
is seven days minimum, free. So it's more complex, but it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
And the consulate, you have both the consulates are very helpful because it's in their wheelhouse
yes. yeah.
to do cross border stuff.
Yeah.
And they're much better off than trying to. At Washington, Mexico City, trying to figure out what we're doing here.
Exactly.
Great.
Okay. So that was chair comments, trustee comments, and then shall we adjourn at 5:01?
Said what? 4:05. So that was a